Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, how are you? How's everybody tonight?
Probably as crazy and whacked as the rest of us.
It is wacky out there, I'll tell you what.
Yes, it is. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight's show is about getting triggered or feeling sorrow, frustration, sensitive, or blocked. And so we're going to talk about this, and also that things are moving to kind of a crescendo of emotions, whether it's around family, power, values, safety, or whatever your personal area of concern may be. Intense and pushing us to deal with it now. Oh, God. And lots of stuff coming out of the blue, by the way. Or the pink.
The blue is a full satchel.
Let's say it again.
The blue is a full satchel.
Yes, it is. Tonight's show dedication is for all of those that are experiencing extreme ascension symptoms and emotional upheaval as we move into more multidimensionality. And that's probably everybody listening or damn near that's listening to the show tonight. I know I had my
share
last week. Huh?
Preparation for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Actually, it's post 11/11.
Post portal.
Post portal. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Show dedication. I did that. Okay. No, I didn't. This is for assistance of all for all of you who are experiencing these extreme ascension symptoms and emotional upheaval. I want to talk about why last week's show didn't air. For those of you that tuned in last week, you were listening to an old show. I hit the wall last week about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I really didn't come back until Sunday night, 9-ish. And I pretty much was out of my body. Actually, Veronica, I think you're the only person I talked to. One other person called me. I don't even remember talking to them. They mentioned it, but I don't remember our conversations, but I really was gone. And so I was having experiences that were so extreme, not only physically, but also psychically. Physically, well, I don't want to gross anybody out, but extreme digestive upsets that were just completely uncontrollable. And heartburn that I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to eat again in this lifetime. Even drinking water was painful. And burning, it was just unbelievable. But the first night I was working in the, what they called, which I thought was really interesting, the subcellular level of the collective, working around, the healing of the masculine, feminine, and especially with the masculine, trying to push that kind of through this little pencil hole, there's a real acceleration on the other side of the veil for us to get through this as quickly as possible so that we can hold a more healed energy for those that are going to hit this in their own way for the collective itself. They're hitting it. They just don't necessarily understand what it is. The other thing, and it was nothing is just one thing. I've come to the conclusion everything is a matrix of energy. Last week, I had planned on doing Christ lifetime imprints. Why do so many people have them, and for what purpose is this lifetime? In this lifetime, do people carry them? And I was told very specifically by the team that. During all, at some point, by the time I came out of this, I understood that I was not allowed to do the show, that it would have sent everyone into process. And
aren't we already in process?
Yeah, but this would have really, this would have tripped everybody's trigger. So we will be doing an intensive, the team and I, on the end of February. It will either be the third or fourth week of February. We're still looking for a place. We don't have any idea how many people will be coming. But basically, we're looking for a place to do the intensives. We will, at least they're telling me that those that actually are living that lifetime will be assisting us, because everything is simultaneous, during the intensive, together, of course, with the team and many other beings from many levels, dimensions, angelic realm, everything. It's going to be life-changing. And it's also imperative that we do it in terms of there are so many people that carry these imprints. And the goal was to make certain that we would be brought back together in this lifetime. The Christ lifetime was about seeding for this lifetime. So it's going to be very, really fascinating. I'm very, very excited about doing it. You know, it was said when it was time to do an intensive, they'd let me know. I didn't expect them to slam me onto the floor in order to let me know. I guess I'm a little slow. So. And of course, you know, it was after coming through the portal, the 1111 portal, I realized that, you know, nothing surprises me at this point. I just roll with everything anymore. I'm just like, yeah, okay, fine. at any rate, also we're still doing a lot of bleeding through, and as we're opening up multidimensionally, okay, it doesn't benefit us to be popping in and out of that lifetime, because actually that lifetime is a lower frequency than this one. It was an amazing lifetime. It was a pivotal lifetime. But in many ways, it can be holding us back. So it's important to detach from it and then be able to work co-creatively, okay, with those of the lifetime and those that we're connected to, let's say, depending on, you know, who you feel that you were in that lifetime, or if you don't know but have this extraordinary, you know, attachment to that lifetime at some level, and I know, Veronica, you do, and I do, and I certainly know a ton of other people, should be very, very interesting. So any of you who are interested in attending, I would appreciate an email letting me know that, yes, you're interested in attending, so I can kind of get some kind of an idea in terms of headcount. This will be a two-day, Saturday and Sunday. Whether or not I do a Friday night or not, I'm not certain.
Okay, okay, we'll be there.
Huh?
We'll be there.
Yeah, of course you will. And interesting, while I was working in the collective during this experience of 3 days, this whole thing about John and Kate Gosselin came up, and I thought, what? You know, you're in the middle of this going, what? And I know that whenever I would come out for a moment, it would just be like, oh, God, please don't make me go back in, because it was so painful. It was just unbelievably painful. I thought my head was going to explode. I can't even begin to tell you how difficult this was. And it was very interesting, for those of you that don't know who John and Kate Gosselin is, obviously you've never been to a grocery store. They're on the cover of every movie rag out there. John and Kate plus eight, and of course John has run amok, you know, with all of his sexual escapades. And
that
Kate,
little tart.
Yes, the little tart that he is. And Kate, you know, the kind of Gestapo type of organized mother of eight, you know, who you can tell is very emasculating, you know? And running this very interesting archetype, a sub-archetype, if you will, of the dominating feminine, who slipped so far into the masculine, you know, in, out of the feminine into the masculine almost, that she's emasculating and super controlling, overly organized. And now the dance is coming back the other direction. And it's very interesting in that all of this was going on while I was in the collective. It was very interesting to me that now John is whining and crying that he made a mistake, and so is Kate. So now he's taking yoga and turning inward spiritually, and she's coming back the other direction as well. And it was kind of a giggle while I was in there for all the work I was doing. But it was interesting to me that this was actually impacting the collective. That's how much of an impact they've had through all of their exposure.
You were reading People magazine in the subconscious?
Well, no, it's just that they actually, the amount of press that they've gotten has been so great that it's actually had an impact on the collective. Now, isn't that interesting? So I thought that was quite fast because I really have no interest in them whatsoever and was very turned off by the whole, I never even read about them because I have no interest in them. But while I was in there is when all this came out, and I was like, wow. And no, Veronica, I wasn't reading people in the collective. But
sitting in the basement reading People.
Yeah, that's very funny.
But that's also very interesting that they're swinging back and forth from the archetypal, distortions.
Yeah,
pretty interesting.
It's fascinating to me that they have moved so in such different directions. I mean, I just got such a kick out of that. So a couple of things I want to share with you. Veronica, you don't have them in the notes. Mainly because I couldn't put them in the notes. While I was down for the count, my son went and got me some rags. I use these to kind of gauge what's going on with the collective because, you know, our little movie stars are the collective heroes, which is just so sad. But it is what it is. So it helps me to kind of gauge, you know, this other extreme of what's going on in with the masses.
Keep the people focused. Keep the people focused, right?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So he bought me a rag called the Sun. Now, I never read the Sun, okay? This is like the extreme of the extreme. But I have found with these little, you know, the Inquirer and stuff, I actually have found some wonderful information in these magazines. So I never discount anything. Well, in the Sun is some information about Edgar Cayce and his visions for 2010. Can I tell you, I was just blown away. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. So there's an article, and this was, it was really fascinating about, this is 70 years ago. Okay, in a series of visionary letters between Cayce and his wife, Gertrude, they were both having these same visions about 2010. I have to share this with you because I think it's just absolutely mind-boggling. And this is actually told by Levin, who was a friend of Cayce's. And anyway, he talks here about, which I just thought, oh my Lord, that there would be a cure for cancer found in 2010, and that it would come from, which does not surprise me whatsoever, okay, from a household herb, an extract that most people have in their kitchen cabinets. Now, whether or not that happens, I don't know. But what was fascinating is he talked about there being the first black president, that we would be engaged in a war in Iraq and Afghanistan, that General Motors would file for bankruptcy. Of course, they were around at that time as well. He also said that in 2010 national health care would be approved, and that the economy, which had been in a terrible situation, would turn around, and that people would start going back to work and be able to save their homes, and that the economy would come back. He did say, however, that national health care was going to be incredibly expensive, but that all of the turmoil would end in 2010. I was fascinated by this. I had to share this with you, and I have to say this. You know, if we're going to hold a vision, okay, which is our job, for where we're going. I think this is a wonderful vision, and I'm all over this, okay? And I just thought this was amazing, wanted to share it with everybody, and I said, you know what? Thank you, Ricky, for buying me this little crappy magazine, because that article was worth, you know, 100 of them. Another fascinating, fascinating, I think I sent it out with last week's channelings, I'm not sure, which was the Vatican, which was holding a conference on the existence of extraterrestrials. And they are now exerting pressure on the unelected government of the United States. Now, unelected, it really fascinates me when you say unelected government of the United States, to disclose the presence of non-human entities and technology operating in Earth's biosphere. This came as a result of a five-day study week on astrobiology by the Pontifical Academy of Sciences at the Vatican last week. As pressure on the administration to address the UFO issue from Europe increases, elements of resisting to the truth embargo within the United States continue to call for truthful disclosure on the matter. Now, this is, you know, when the Vatican, England and France are pressing the U.S., this is big stuff. And this will go out next week. Unfortunately, I didn't get this till after. Very, 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 see, I don't know if there's a, if I have a website for this. It's the examiner.com, and if you search UFOs, it may come up for you. It's got a priest that looks like an ET. I just love this. With a little halo. And I think next week the team will be doing, not next week, next week we're going to be running an old show because I'll be traveling. Following week, I believe that we will be doing a show, I always say I believe, on what's coming in terms of ETs and UFOs, because this stuff is going to start coming in really fast, people. And it's absolutely time now for all of you to start really looking at, you know, this is no longer closeted. I mean, it can be, but we came in to be the bridge, and so it's really time for people to start stepping out there and saying, look, this is what I believe. I know it's real. I know it's coming. You know, if you start hearing about things and you have questions, come talk to me. You know, I'll be happy to field them for you, send you the right information or in the right direction. But it's time to quit feeling uncomfortable about people thinking that you're some kind of wacko because you're there. When you can turn around and say, look, the Vatican is pressing the U.S. to disclose, okay? This stuff is coming, and it's coming quickly, very quickly. This is what we came here to do with the bridge.
And what are they saying, that the beings, the extraterrestrials, are actually functioning as a government in a different dimension right now?
No. No. No, that was that the Vatican is pressing are non-elected officials to disclose their knowledge of extraterrestrial life.
Oh,
and all the things that we've been secreting. You know, Stephen Greer and Will Cox are very much involved in all of this as well. In other words, they're pushing for disclosure.
Great.
And this is a really exciting time, guys. This is a very exciting time. Lots of internal memos going out from the Vatican to the diocese again. They're making a really big push. The Catholics are prepared for ETs. They're absolutely certain they're not going to lose their position in religion, okay?
Well, Catholics do see things. You know that. I mean, their visions are really a big deal in the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. No question about it.
And that smell of incense just brings it up.
Well, I happen to know that the Pope has been, you know, contacted. I don't know if this one has, but I know the other one was. So, you know, I know that one for a fact. And, you know, that comes, well, from the team.
Well, this is all very exciting, and I think it's really good that the Vatican is taking that role, because they kind of had some bad press recently, you know.
Well, you know, Balducci, who was the former demonologist for the Vatican, has, you know, he's been featured in a lot of different films, you know, coming forward saying that ETs are real and that they're, you know, a creation of God, they're more spiritual than we are, and so on and so forth. So, you know, the Vatican, everything coming out of the Vatican now is very pro-ET, very positive,
great,
very loving, very supportive, absolutely nothing frightening, which I'm finding very interesting. So let's take a minute here and kind of talk about, if you're ready, Veronica, about what's going on with people right now.
Oh, Lord.
Veronica and I were sharing today about, you know, how people are just having a very rough time right now.
And you said something yesterday and today. You repeated it, and I'm grateful for that. You don't try and fix it for them.
Correct.
I had to hear that twice. because people are running into their own, what, karmic stuff, their own releases of subconscious programming, aren't they?
They're running into the discomfort that's going to push them through to make the changes that need to be made. In order to heal the stuff, their themes from so many lifetimes. You know, we're not just dealing with this lifetime. Trying to fix it just here isn't enough. You're dealing with a theme from all these lifetimes in this lifetime. So you have to deal with the theme, not just the experiences. You got to get down to the core of this stuff so that you can, that domino effect can then into these other lifetimes. You know, we're now working multidimensionally to help heal this and other lifetimes. We're no longer working just on husband, wife, this, that. That's why we work with dad and mom, because we always got a dad and mom, and dad and mom are always the, you know, the mainframe, because they're the God and Goddess projection, and that's been true in all these lifetimes. So, at any rate, these triggers are intended to push people to such great levels of discomfort that they finally say, enough, I'm ready to heal, whatever it takes. Okay, instead of blaming, they're ready to heal their shame. They're ready to heal their blaming, the anger, the rage, certainly rage at the masculine. Oh, Lord. I'm surprised men aren't just walking around all blind. If I was a man today, I'd be wearing a cup. Let's put it that way. Oh, Lord. And also, a lot of people who've dealt with the anger at the masculine are now discovering their anger at the feminine. And that's coming up. And it's been, you know, either one or the other. Lots of people were mad at the mom, and then all of a sudden realizing that mom wasn't so bad, that their real anger was at dad. And once we get into the dad stuff, then all hell breaks loose. Literally, all hell breaks loose. And
but it's actually the crossfire of the two kinds of reactions, isn't it, that really poisons things?
Well, it is. It just happens to be that the masculine is really up right now. So it's, you know, and it's up from thousands of years. So we've got a little bit more that we're dealing with here. Not that we don't have anger at the feminine and the loss of the goddess and the loss of our main archetype. The powerful sexual feminine was stolen from us. I've said this 1,000 times. And without that archetype, as women, we've been floundering. Really.
Well, it's interesting because I told you there was somebody and I got so angry. Anyway, I just remembered she was working with a divorce and the hut, and what's going to happen is she's coming out of it with way less than she should because of her male lawyer and her ex, who always gets away with being charming. And he's going to have quite a bit of money, and she's going to have very little. And I could see that it was karmically her thing about money and blah, 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 but it's so about the feminine. And I really lost it. I started to get just, like, enraged. You know, and that's my process, but it was very
interesting. Yeah,
it was very
interesting that it triggered you.
Oh, boy, it really did. Not so much about the divorce, but about the male archetype taking, and getting away with that, you know?
Interesting.
But it did. It made me really mad, and I said, wow, I'm getting really mad.
Yeah,
and she laughed at me.
Yeah, seeing a lot of that right now, that where women are just, and I want to go back to this archetype for a minute, because this is very important. The loss of the powerful, sexual, feminine, spiritual archetype. That, if you think about this, you know, we've gone 2,000 years, actually less than that, it's 1,600, because they took Mary out at the Council of Nicaea. So we've gone, 1,600 years, a little better than that, without that archetype. We had the whore and the Madonna, but we didn't have the powerful, sexual, spiritual feminine. And so the imbalance that we've had between the masculine and feminine has been pretty extreme, pretty damned extreme. Frustration, lots of frustration. Have you been seeing the frustration, Veronica?
Have I? Yeah, oh, you bet. You bet. But you know what, I keep going back to the same thing, because the sexual, beautiful, loving, feminine, that was the whole part that was being ignored in this divorce thing, you know?
Well, again, as that archetype is being reborn, reestablished, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have to birth that archetype into the collective. Really,
that's
birth.
Why women seem to be having a harder time right now, right?
We have to birth that archetype that you can be powerful, sexual, okay, and spiritual. And, you know, we just have not had that archetype as a role model.
Mm-hmm.
So women have really floundered with that. You know, you were either a whore, you know, or the Madonna, the perfect mother, perfect wife, but there was nothing in between. And so, you know, we've labeled, you know, people like Madonna and a lot of others. They had to go to real extremes, you know, as they have those. They've had to come in and go to extremes to pull that archetype back in. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. had to go to major extremes to do it. And now we have to claim it and embrace it and live it. So a lot of women carry a lot of rage that it was stolen from us. I think that's a big issue. And again, as you said, it's the inequity of the, you see, the powerful sexual, spiritual feminine, okay, would have come in against the male attorney and the male, charming male husband, and could have won.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
They,
mm-hmm.
Okay, they wouldn't have had the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that, you know, I consider that part of my own personal archetype, because when I love to go up against any kind of challenge with a masculine, and I like to win.
And you've done very well with that.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
You've done pretty well with that.
I have. Absolutely, I have. And, I mean, not by castrating. That's not really the answer. But by holding a resonance that's so strong, by being not being intimidated and not going into the anger that stops you from being powerful. Because the minute you hit victim, you're a dead duck.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go there. We don't want to get too sidetracked here because we've got a lot of people going through a lot of stuff. Men, dads, the masculine, lots of issues around shame again. We got a big bulk of shame coming back through again. Fear of being left behind, okay? And I find that very, very interesting that we're back. Of course, that doesn't surprise me at all. Let's see. Strange dreams. Boy, we've had some dreams in these sessions with people talking about their dreams. And the team, just their interpretation is just mind-boggling. I'm just like, what? where they're able to take these dreams and decipher them, and unfortunately, I don't remember anything, but, you know, I can't hold it. But, boy, some really interesting stuff coming through the dream state. Also, lots of encountering of our multidimensional selves. Whenever dear friend Wendy had surgery and last week, and while she was under, her experiences and her encounters with her multidimensional selves was just stunning, absolutely stunning. So that's going to be happening more and more for everybody. Children, ooh. This is for you, Veronica. Again, trying to save our parent through our children again. Really watch that if you're having issues with children, that you're not trying to save a parent that you couldn't save through the child. That can get very twisted and very convoluted, and it blindsides you because you don't see it coming in.
How can you be clear, Jackie? You just be clear and centered? You just keep centering and releasing?
Don't try to fix anybody and you won't get whacked. Mm. It's that need to fix. And this is why being neutral right now, being loving but neutral, allowing people to walk through what they need to walk through, you know, direct them to healing. You know, this is, believe me, folks, it's, you know, healing. Okay? You know, I just can't emphasize that enough. It's not optional. And children are opening. I talked to a little girl tonight who has been having an experience with a being on the other side of the veil who is an extraterrestrial, and she is from the mothership, and she wanted to talk to me to be sure that she was who she said she was and to see if I knew her, and I do. And so it was. And she was so excited that what she was experiencing was real. Just so excited. So, again, coming out for your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, letting them know what you believe, because these kids are having experiences. When I was in Utah for the birth, or right after the birth, before the birth of my great-grandchild, the Grays were walking around the house. I don't work with them personally, but, you know, this is happening, people. I'm telling you, and you need to let your grandchildren and your children know that, you know, you're working with or listening to or exploring, so that if they're having experiences, they feel safe to come forward with some of the things that they're experiencing. They need a place to go with this stuff. Very, very important. Really important. Also, tricksters. Just want to bring this up. If beings come in and you're not certain, you know, or if you've got beings coming in, communicating with you and telling you that second coming and, you know, or that you're a piece of crap, either one, you know, call on Command Central and ask them just say, you know, Command Central, this being is supposed to be here or not supposed to be here, please ask it to leave. Very important right now. We do have some tricksters. Some of them are astral. And then we've got some other beings that, you know, are still doing a little bit of trickstering, you know. They can shape-shift. And so it's about being really clean, really doing your homework, you know, keeping your ego in check so that whatever's going on, again, just, you know, check, 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 check. I'm going to go into channel, Veronica, so you can talk with the team.
Okay.
And I talked longer than I should, but after being gone last week, I felt like there was so much to talk about. I could talk.
We're glad you're still here with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I did have a question for a while there. Okay. All right. Well, we're right here. We were waiting. She was behind schedule. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Veronica. Very good to be with you tonight.
And good to be with you. Thank
now,
you.
We know. There we go. We know that many of you are having difficulty with physical symptoms and emotional symptoms and lots of anger, all right? That old anger is showing up in lots of places. You know, it may show up in places you don't even expect. You know, somebody just does the wrong thing and then all of a sudden you explode. That's all right, too. We would prefer to see you not get angry at yourselves. This is the time to be very loving with yourselves, if at all possible, and forgiving with yourselves, everyone. You did the best you could to get where you are now. All right? Time to forgive yourself for what you perceive are failures, mistakes, losses, bad choices, people you've hurt, whatever the case may be, including perhaps your relationship with God and Goddess. But it's time to forgive yourselves, people. Take yourselves off the hook now. You're going to find that with as intense as the energies are right now, being loving and forgiving to you is going to be very, very important. You're going to find it a lot easier to deal with some of the anger that is coming up that needs to be dealt with if you're not angry at yourself as well. Because that just creates more distortion, doesn't it, Veronica?
Yes, it does.
Sure, it does.
I've been going through that myself, actually.
Have you? And how have you been angry at you? Or for what reason?
It just seems like deep wells of awakening to what I've been like at some phase of my life or another, and just like, was I really like that? Sort of like really experiencing it and then being upset about it, being angry.
Well, what could you possibly have done that was so terrible?
I don't know if it's done. I think it's more like being in various levels of consciousness and being kind of horrified that I was like that, you know?
Well, that's just being human. Again, this is where's your compassion, Veronica? If you were looking at this from the other side of the veil, hold on a minute. If you were looking at this from the other side of the veil, all right, with us, you would look on yourself with great compassion. Oh, bless her heart. Look, she's doing the very best she can under the circumstances. She doesn't yet know who she really is. She's got a lot of unhealed things, and oh, Lord, she had a childhood. All right? But she's going to get there as we look down at potential reality. Look at the wonderful things she's going to do. Do you see how compassionate that is?
It is, yes, thanks. Yeah.
You see, dwelling on those things, that was a different you. Remember that every change is a total incomplete change. You're a brand new you every moment. Now you're going to waste a lot of energy being upset about the you a moment ago, or a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. You don't have that kind of time and energy right now. It's better directed into the wonderful things that you're doing now and celebrating the wonder of where you are now so that you can share more of that with more people, which allows them to find more of themselves. Because if there's any part of you that hasn't forgiven you, that doesn't totally love and embrace yourself, that's going to be reflected back to others, and it's going to trigger their shame. Did you get that?
I just wrote that down.
All right.
It's interesting to think that's what triggers people's shame, isn't it?
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. Haven't you ever been around somebody that's really comfortable in who they are?
Oh, yes.
All right. They don't harbor a lot of guilt and shame. They just are who they are.
Yeah, it's always a delight, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Comfortable in their skin. Now, it's easy to be around them, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And does it trigger your shame?
No.
That's right. That's right. Because they're not running shame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in their field, so it's not going to trigger yours.
And the humor is that they aren't necessarily wonderful beings. Or what I mean is they don't have to be fancy, or they're not necessarily being, you know what I mean, especially elegant or anything. They're just being...
No. Just totally comfortable in who they are.
Yeah. That's nice.
You call it real. A lot of people call it real. Some of them are kind of crusty.
Mm-hmm.
But again, another reason to be loving with yourself. Another reason to be loving with yourself. Often you'll find that perfectionists have a lot of shame. That's the reason they're trying to be perfect. They need to be perfect because they have a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're perfect, perfection in performance, maybe nobody will see their shame, their flaw. You understand?
I sure do. And yet it comes out, doesn't it? It gets reflected back in other people's shame.
It'll get reflected back in other ways, of course it will.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it will. Now, we laughed at the channel because she's been so busy taking care of all these little things that she can see on her hands and her face and whatever little from the dermatologist, because she said it created shame for her that she hadn't taken care of it years ago. So she decided if she took care of everything, right? Now, these aren't things that are hidden. They're things that are visible. But they're visible to her. See? And every time she looked at them, it created shame for her for not having done something about it sooner. Interesting, isn't that?
Mm-hmm.
So now she's decided if she takes care of all of them, then it won't trigger any shame. She won't have shame about it because she's taking care of them. We thought that was actually quite humorous.
So it's kind of a duty to beauty.
That's it. There you go. All right. Yes, you share that with her. All right. Now, people, you're going to have all varieties of digestive problems, we just want you to know. And these are going to be ongoing, off again, on again, off again, on again. Please, you're not going to die. All right, you may have a week of diarrhea and then a week of heartburn or indigestion or whatever. You're fine. Now, if you want to run to the doctors, you can. But these are energies. The energies coming in and with the opening of the 11-11, you're going to have lots of energies running. You're going to have lots of aches and pains, some of you. All right? Mm-hmm. Right side, left side. Pay attention. What's bothering you? Right side, left side. Right side, masculine. Left side, feminine. If your left side's bothering you, you're angry at the masculine. If right side's bothering you, you're angry at the feminine. Pretty simple stuff. Oh, you're out of balance. But then you're all out of balance in one way or another. That's all what you're working on, all of you. And this is why it's so critically important for you to be loving with yourself, compassionate with yourself. Being self-critical is not going to help. Trying to fix everyone is not going to help. You can't do it. You have your hands full with just yourselves and all the children.
That's for sure.
Yes, well, really. And if you're trying to fix everybody else, sorry?
I was just thinking that I have various children, satellite children, some natural children, and whilst I was trying to not fix them, well, I was actually trying to fix them probably, my gastrointestinal system was going crazy.
Of course.
I think that's an interesting thing to know.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
I looked pregnant, you know.
Exactly. Bringing up all these emotional issues.
Oh, yeah. Oh, incredible.
Emotions lodged in the intestines. Of course. Of course, of course, of course.
And now, digesting, you know, digesting all that karma or whatever.
Well, yes. Digesting life per se. You know. Now, some of you are having some really awful dreams, and we want you to remember not to try to interpret them literally, because some of them would really be scary if you did. And so we don't want you feeling shame over dreams. They're just dreams, people, right? So try not to take them too literally. What else is going on, Veronica? What else are you seeing?
I think people are very, a lot of people are sort of dizzy or feel like they're physically insecure. You know, it's not just illness and pain. It's like a physical insecurity. As if we're being bopped about by the energies changing. I think that's pretty interesting.
Now, when you say physical insecurity, meaning what?
Meaning people suddenly have little dizzinesses and their legs don't feel as, they don't feel as grounded or as strong on the planet, and it seems to go with shifting jobs and shifting emotions and shifting bellies and so on. And I think it's to do with, like, not being stable in the shifting frequencies, not getting the normal ballast, you know. It's not as easy to stay physically upright. No, they're staying upright. I just mean they feel a little dizzy or a little wobbly. People are shaky. That's
okay,
my experience with my
physically
clients.
Physically shaky.
Yeah.
Changes in their lives. Is that correct? Jobs and things, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not sure who and what to count on, you know?
Well, this is a good one. Not sure who and what to count on. Now, people, this is the time to start reaching out on the other side of the veil to begin very strong relationships. Even if you can't see them, Meditate. All right? Ask for assistance, not to fix it for you, but to work with you co-creatively. You're always welcome to call us in. You may call on your higher selves, your own guides, your star families, whatever you wish to do. But making connections now is going to be very important. Not out of desperation, but saying, look, I really want to connect with you now. I know it's time. All right? And I'm not getting dissatisfaction on this side of the veil. I don't get a sense of safety and security because I realize that I'm functioning in an illusion, and now I'm not even able to walk upright in the damned illusion because I've got vertigo and I'm bumping into things.
Somebody told me vertigo is the new high.
Right. It's just a big tap on the shoulder not to let it look too solid and real.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine yourselves in a fun house. You've been on those things where you kind of rock and roll and bump into the walls. And it's the same thing. You're in a fun house.
Sometimes it feels like that these days, yeah.
Well, it's true. You are. It's done with mirrors, people. There really isn't anything out beyond your fingertips other than what your collective has agreed to up and down. It's really an illusion. And the more you start playing with that, the more power you will take. The more power you will take. We talked with someone today that we love them. They're quite fun. And he's very frustrated about horses. And he said, oh, what is it with horses? I'm over horses. I don't ever, can't stand the horses. I'm tired of hearing about the horses. My mother's obsessed with horses, horses this, horses that. And we said, well, why don't you tell us that? What? Well, tell her that. Mom, let's find something new to talk about. I'm sick of talking about horses. I don't particularly like them. They're pretty to look at. But I don't care. Let's find a new topic of conversation. You have your horses. Do what you want with them. Find your voice. That's what you came into this lifetime. That's a theme. Like it was a shocking revelation. It's time to wake up, people, and start looking at what haven't you been dealing with and why. And if it keeps knocking on your door, you've got to figure out that obviously this is one thing I've been avoiding or not dealing with for some reason. I must have it askew. If money is still a major issue for you, then you need to look at why. What is it about money that I have an issue? All right. Maybe I'm making money the focus instead of my joy. Maybe if I make my joy the focus, the money will come. You know, you've heard this 1,000 times. Follow your joy and the money will be there. It will. But you continue to go back. Go ahead.
I've noticed with some people what money really means to them is really distorted.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The kind of meanings they attach to it.
Yes, status, value, lack of shame, or we could go on and on and on. That's a very good point, Veronica, very good point, because you've put tags on it, labels mm-hmm. on it, and so therefore it is distorted.
And there's a lot of fear in it for some people, and we only have 2 minutes left, unfortunately.
Oh, all right, Veronica, talk about your show, dear.
My next show is Master Shah, Paradigm Shifters, on Tuesday night from 8 to 9. It's Master Shah, who's a wild and woolly fellow. He's doing a lot of healing, and he's many, many Eastern techniques that he uses, and he's bringing forward sound and incantations and so on. He's doing a lot of major healing effect. And
right.
Radiance by Design will be a rerun next Thanksgiving night, just like Jackie's show will be a rerun. So I don't even know which one it will be yet.
All right, wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, yes, we have. All right. Now, everybody, what we'd like for you to do, if you don't mind, if you decide you want to, we would never tell you how to do anything, But if you'd like to call us in tonight and ask for us to help balance the energies with you so that you're not feeling quite so overwhelmed and out of balance, as you said, Veronica, off balance, off balance, we're happy to do that. We're happy to do that. If you have a particular thing that's bothering you, that you're working with, that you may have some fear around or concern, certainly you can have that as well. Again, we're not here to fix it for you. We're here to work co-creatively with you, to add to your intention, to help allow the magic to come. You see, we know how powerful all of you are. We love you. We're supporting, we're applauding you. It is our joy to be with you this evening. We send to each and every one of you, including you, Veronica, our total unconditional love.
Thank you.
Know that we are all with you, all with you, in more ways than you can possibly imagine. Have fun, people, even though it's uncomfortable. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to step out. And if you're afraid to step out, look at why. What's holding me back? Don't let fear of failure get in your way anymore. If you fall down, stand up, brush yourself off, and keep going. We love you, dear ones. And until we speak with you again in this format, namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone that we're not talking to until next week. Many blessings.